This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Today we'll report on American troops bound for Iraq and some just returning. Veterans may want to forget what happened in Iraq, but some may have to remember in order to recover. Some military and veterans hospitals are trying an experiment, helping soldiers relive their worst moments in a virtual Iraq. Here's NPR's John McChesney.
At the Naval Medical Center in San Diego, Navy Lieutenant Commander Robert McClay helps me adjust a special helmet, one of those that has a video screen inside. He adds a pair of headphones and hands me a computer game console. I'm sitting in a Humvee, which exists in a computer-generated world. If I turn my head, I'm looking out the side window or over at the passenger side. There's another Humvee in front of me on a desert road. It's a cloudy day. I press forward on the joystick, and a convoy begins to move down the road, and my seat begins to vibrate.
We can control different aspects of that. We can change the weather. Right now it looks out quite pleasant. I can make it a little later in the night into dusk, can kick up a sandstorm around you. Up ahead there'll be a statue of Saddam Hussein on your right, palm trees, desert environment.
If I were a patient suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, Commander McClay would have already talked to me about some of my experiences in Iraq in order to give him an idea of what kind of scene to create. He can control almost everything I see and hear and smell. That's right, he can create the odor of diesel fuel, burning rubber, or gunpowder, among other things.
And as you approach this overpass that's up ahead, we're going to start to add some things that might be a little more stressful. To begin with, I'm going to have a Black Hawk helicopter fly over the top of you.
I raise my head, and I see that chopper flying by.
I can start to add some chaos in the background here. So we'll have explosions by the side of the road.
Insurgents spring up, and bullets pierce the Humvee windshield. Once I'm out of the virtual reality rig, the obvious question comes up. Why have patients relive this kind of horrific experience?
I admit as well, when I first heard about this, it seemed very counterintuitive, and I was like, why on earth would you want to use virtual reality to treat post-traumatic stress disorder? The first answer for why we do it is that it's been proven to be effective.
McClay acknowledges that his successes are part of a very small sample of patients so far. He says traditional treatment, called exposure therapy, where patients imagine and tell of their experiences, doesn't always evoke the full story. He says the virtual experience is designed to prod the patient to go further.
We try to have the patient actually be narrating their own experience so that they're saying, you know, I'm going through here and what actually had happened to them. And to a large point, we're coaching them and supporting them through that. You know, is that a little too much for you right now? Just sort of asking how they're doing and checking in.
The graphics, by the way, are not as realistic as those in most computer games. McClay says that's intentional. Too much reality could be counterproductive. Up in Palo Alto, California, at the Veterans Affairs Department's National PTSD Center, Dr. Greg Leskin is testing a similar VR treatment program. His patients are wired with sensors as they relive their experiences, like this one in an Iraqi hospital following a car bomb attack with children crying and men on gurneys screaming.
We are monitoring the patient's physiological reactions, that is their heart rate, their breathing, their core body temperature, the skin conductance.
So if the body is reacting, but the patient isn't talking, the therapist can ask, what's going on? Neither the Navy nor the VA would permit us to talk with patients using these software programs. Both emphasize that it's an experiment in early stages, but is showing great promise. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.